Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear how more people have been biking during the pandemic. As a result, there's actually a shortage of bikes. Well, Community Cycles and other local nonprofits have been working to get people bikes, and they're hoping that this biking trend will continue. And they're promoting Bike to Wherever Day happening later this month. And there will be a series of events highlighting biking in Boulder County. We'll hear more after headlines. After that, we'll hear about an annual summit for women that's taking place this weekend. It's actually for Latinx women and it's hosted by El Centro Amistad. Then John Lendorf will join us to bring us the latest food news. That's on Radio Nibbles. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have headlines from the BBC. And then we'll bring you a discussion featuring the Black Student Alliance on the CU Boulder campus. It's a bonus edition of Black Talk, which is a monthly show produced by the NAACP of Boulder County and KGNU. And at 9 o'clock, we continue our election coverage and we'll hear about the Transition Integrity Project. What will happen after the election in November? Well, we'll hear more about how organisations are planning for a transition. This is an interview that originally aired on It's the Economy last month. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. The Boulder Valley School District has filed a federal lawsuit against two e-cigarette manufacturers. According to a press release from the school district, the suit was filed against Juul and Altria for deceptive and misleading youth targeting and devastating injuries from Juul e-cigarettes. BVSD Superintendent Dr. Rob Anderson said in a statement yesterday that school district campuses have been littered with Juul pods and that they've had students as young as fourth and fifth grade who've been treated for nicotine addiction related to vaping. The lawsuit accuses the companies of creating a youth e-cigarette epidemic and a public health crisis, saying that the companies thrived due to extensive and successful efforts to delay meaningful regulation of their products. In July, Phil Weiser, Colorado's Attorney General, also filed a lawsuit against Juul, alleging that the company intentionally marketed its products to youth and misrepresented them as a healthy alternative to cigarettes, when in fact they may have been more addictive. Weiser led a nearly year-long investigation into Juul, and he said that the company violated the Colorado Consumer Protection Act by targeting young smokers with attractive flavors and designs, as well as misleading information about the risks of vaping tobacco. Governor Jared Polis announced yesterday afternoon that some high school sports will in fact happen this fall. The state has conditionally approved revised guidelines that would allow for some outdoor sports to take place. Yesterday's announcement comes after the Colorado High School Activities Association had initially postponed playing high school sports until spring 2021. The Denver Post reports that the CHSAA's board of directors met Wednesday night and voted 12-3 in favour of allowing fall seasons for football, field hockey and sideline spirit teams. Schools will still have the option of playing in the spring, but they cannot compete in both seasons. No timeline has yet been provided for fall sports. The Loses de Boulder sculpture that had been installed on the CU Boulder campus last year will remain at CU as part of the permanent collection in the University Libraries Special Collections, Archives and Preservation Department. The university made the announcement on Wednesday. The sculpture commemorates the six Chicano students and community members who were killed in two separate car bombings in Boulder in 1974. This was during a time when student activists were protesting the lack of equity in education and occupying buildings on the CU campus. The university has been criticised for more than four decades for not having a permanent commemoration honouring Loses. In a statement yesterday, Robert MacDonald, Dean of University Libraries at CU, said the acquisition of the sculpture is a great opportunity to examine campus history and to highlight areas for broadening library collections in areas that have been underrepresented or purposefully silent for many students, faculty, staff and alumni. Hazy skies and another air quality advisory for wildfire smoke in effect today for much of the Front Range, including Boulder County. Much of that smoke is coming from the West Coast, as well as from the Cameron Peak Fire, which is burning west of Fort Collins. Fire officials in Colorado say they believe fire activity and smoke production will increase in the Cameron Peak Fire in the coming days as the weather becomes hotter and drier. The fire has been burning since August 13th and it's now more than 102,000 acres. It is 8% contained and it has destroyed 25 homes and 29 outbuildings. Warm temperatures today with highs in the mid to upper 80s and expect warm temperatures for the coming days as well. It is 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. Around the country, cycling has become incredibly popular. And in fact, it's actually quite hard to buy a bike right now. Well, while traditional bike to work day events and gatherings are not possible now due to the COVID-19 pandemic, local organisers are hoping to continue the tradition of biking and to promote biking and biking safety. I spoke with Elaine Erb, who's the Sustainable Transportation Planner with the Boulder Transportation Connections and with Sue Prant of Community Cycles about Bike to Wherever Day.
Unfortunately, we weren't able to have breakfast stations because we weren't able to have big gatherings of people or to give out food. So that was a challenge, but we didn't want to. Bike to Work Day has been going on in Boulder for like 45 plus years. So we didn't want to lose it this year. So we put our heads together, Community Cycles and BTC, put our head, Boulder Transportation Connections, put our heads together. And we said, well, what can we do? And so we looked at, we have our new website, our Walk and Bike Month website. So we looked at things that were already happening and we reached out to some people and got them to submit some rides and things that people could do on their own. So there would be, activities you can participate at your own pace with your family and or your pod. And so we listed those and then we thought, well, we want to plan a few events of our own. So we decided we would do two seminars, a cycling safety seminar sponsored by Boulder Transportation Connections and an advocacy like what's happening in, bike infrastructure sponsored by Community Cycles. And those are both on September 22nd. And then and those are both webinars. And then an in-person event, we decided to do a bike history and architecture scavenger hunt. So for that, we teamed together, BTC and Community Cycles teamed together with Month of Modern because they had done this before and they aren't able to hold their event in September. So, and we're friends with them anyway. So, and we reached out to some of our other friends to get some questions for the scavenger hunt and Month of Modern people kind of gave us the infrastructure of how to do it. So basically it's some of the things is just go here and take a photo. Some is take a video. Some is solve a clue and take a photo. And then you tag it all on Instagram and me and maybe somebody else will be counting up your points. And the top 70, actually, so almost everybody participates, right, will get a really cool park tool. So it's a high quality tool. It's like a $20 bike tool. And those were donated to us. We had them made up thanks to Alpine Bank, who's one of our sponsors of Walk and Bike Month this year. And then there's also a bunch of Month of Modern giveaways. We have beanies, we have fanny packs. So we are able to give something away to people. It's just not food, but we figured we'd pick a really good prize this year for almost everybody to win and give them something to, remember this unusual year by, but in a good way.
Well, Elaine Erb, you are with BTC, as Sue mentioned there, Boulder Transportation Connections. Tell us a little bit about the work of that nonprofit and how you're involved in this.
So BTC, it's been a very interesting year for us. Normally, we're promoting all sorts of commutes, whether it's you know, bikes or carpool or taking transit. And as a lot of people realize, transit usage has dropped by some 80% right now. So we've shifted over to a lot more support of telework, helping people have the tools they need to be able to work at home. And we're able to focus a little bit more on bicycling because bicycling has become really popular right now. More and more people are out on bikes. They're realizing that they can use them to get around town or just as a way to get outside and get some exercise. And we've been doing a lot of webinars. So we've had sessions about, for instance, e-bikes and e-vehicles, because if we're going to attack and address climate change, we really need to get away from carbon-fueled vehicles and infrastructure. So electric vehicles are a step in a direction. You know, we really like to see people using active transportation to get around. And then, so we are sponsoring the safety webinar that will be part of the week. And we're going to have a member of our team, Will Shepherd, along with Officer Mitch from the Boulder Police Department, who is a bicycle cop, and Mo Maketa from Bicycle Colorado will all be speaking and giving you some tips for safety. And it's a lot for riders who maybe haven't been on their bikes as much until this year.
Well, take us through a little bit more of the consequences, I guess, of the pandemic. We did see, certainly for a while early on, less cars on the road, and we saw definite impact in terms of air quality. Is there a way to harness that to make it something that we continue with going forward, whether it is, you know, encouraging people to now consider biking, not just something to do for leisure, but actually a form of transportation that you can use to get from home to work, to run errands and more? I mean, what are some of the opportunities coming out of this pandemic where we've seen such drastic behavioral shifts that, you know, maybe some of the positive behavioral shifts could continue going forward? Sue, is this something that community cycles can really maybe capitalize on a little bit?
So yeah, we're definitely trying to get as many bikes out in the community as possible, because there is a shortage of bikes actually. So we've been working hard to build more bikes and offer affordable and free bikes to people. So through our programs, some of it's difficult because just like every other nonprofit, you know, we've lost some funding. And but we're still, that's our priority, is to get more people on bikes. That's our mission. So we've been doing that. We've been trying to have our shop open to help people, but we're doing things mostly outside. On the advocacy realm, we've been working with the city we reduce the speed limits to 20 miles per hour in the city of Boulder. So we led that campaign, the 20 is Plenty and the speed limit reduction campaign. And that all happened, we'd been working out for a while, but it really came to fruition during the pandemic. So that makes our streets safer. We've also worked with the city, has gotten some grants for some closed streets. So those are going to be rolling out in the fall and the spring, which will allow more opportunities for slower neighborhood streets as well. We also have working with the city for some traffic calming elements. A bunch of those are rolling out in the neighborhoods as part of the traffic calming mitigation program. But also, we have a cool one happening right in our front yard, essentially on 26th and Spruce. We're doing a mural in the middle of the street with some bulb outs, because that's a very unsafe street crossing. So that was another thing that kind of came out of this pandemic. So in the bike realm, that's what we're trying to get, just safer places to bicycle and more people on bikes.
And that was Sue Prant and EC Herb speaking there about Bike to Wherever Day. And as we heard, lots of events happening this month, and you can find out more at the website walkandbikemonth.org, and also register if you are going to be participating in any of the events. Once again, that website, walkandbikemonth.org. It is 19 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, for the last 14 years in Boulder, El Centro Amistad has been organising an annual event that's dedicated to women and youth. The Cumbre has invited women to join as main speakers. Past speakers have been Jeanette Viguera, an immigrant justice activist, Laura Esquivel, who's a famous writer of Like Water for Chocolate, as well as many, many others. Well, the summit will be this year dedicated to the healing justice of compassion, and there will be reflection and action. KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with Mar Malak from El Centro Amistad about the annual summit for Latinx women and how it's been transformed to address current challenges, but also to address opportunities.
Thing that I really appreciate about working at El Centro Amistad is that we all take challenges and turn them into opportunities. So we took the Cumbre and turn it into an online event. And with that comes the celebration of the internationality. So we have women from different places of the world. They are all from Spanish-speaking countries, but it's like a bigger celebration. It's not only from here in Boulder, it's from the world, to offer to all our women that are interested in attending to this beautiful event. At El Centro Amistad, we have been working very hard to put this event together. One of the ideas that came up was to record this poem that was inspired by all the march of women around the world from March 8th. We recorded this poem and we gathered women from different Spanish-speaking countries. This video is going to be presented at La Cumbre de Mujeres, that is going to be on the 17, 18, and 19 of September. This poem for us is a celebration. It has a message. It's like a call of action for all women, but it's also a celebration of different backgrounds, different accents, the beauty of culture. Women that speak differently, look differently, they have their own way of saying things, the way that they communicate with their eyes, with their hands. So yeah, I like to see this video as a celebration of all of us as women coming together.
In past years, the Summit of the Women or Cumbre de Mujeres, organized by Centro Amistad Grupo Compañeras, has taken place at CU Boulder. And this time around, due to the pandemic, things have changed and it's going to be online. How are you dealing with these changes and how are you adapting and what are you offering? How is it going to be different this time around?
It's going to be divided in 3 days and we're going to have different options. Each day is dedicated to a special topic like wellness or health equity. It has a program, but it has the same flexibility that the Cumbre has, that you can choose whatever you want to be learning or whatever you want to be exploring and grow in, but it's divided in 3 days.
What are the main topics in the Summit of the Women?
Well, we have different topics. We are offering different workshops, but it's mostly around like our values, health equity, wellness. Our webpage is www.elcentroamistad.org. Yeah, you can register online.
How is Centro Amistad navigating the difficulties presented by people not having access to internet, not having access to computers, not being able to always be in meetings through Zoom? How are you navigating this digital divide?
I think that our promotoras are always happy to help people to learn how to access by your phone. We have speakers from Portugal, Mexico, different like Spanish-speaking countries. Like, we have been really reaching out and we are very happy with all the workshops that we are going to be offering. It is in Spanish. We always offer interpretation.
The 14th Cumbre Anual de Mujeres and Cumbre Juvenil Compañeras, dedicated to the healing justice of compassion, reflection, and action, is going to be taking place the 17, 18, and 19 of September. And it has already 350 participants, more than 3 generations all united, more than 10 Spanish-speaking countries represented, and more than 30 volunteers with 36 activities and workshops and music at the end by local musicians and also musicians that are going to be invited to join the celebration of the Summit of the Woman in Boulder County.
I would like to invite you to come and join the celebration. Come and join diversity, celebrate the beauty of all of us being different.
That is Mar Malak with Centro Amistad Grupo Compañeras talking about the Summit of the Woman. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo.
And it's time now for Radio Nibbles.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when...
And you're listening to Radio Nibbles right here on Community Radio KGNU. And John Lendorf joining us from his food preservation kitchen in Louisville, because this is the time to be preserving the crops that are so bountiful at this time of year. We're catching up on a lot of food news, local and national. But John, what are you preserving in your kitchen right now?
Boy, I've been preserving a lot of things. I got a bunch of tomatoes off the vines before the freeze, and I am roasting them, and then I'm going to kind of preserve them in olive oil and put them in a jar, and then at some point that'll come out as a wonderful kind of spread or something. But I've been freezing things and drying things, and I think everyone should.
Of course, there's lots to be got now at the local farmers markets, and the Boulder County farmers markets have lots of produce in abundance. Apples, it's apple season right now. Lots of other things to be on the lookout that you can either eat now, John, or as you're doing, preserve it for future eating.
Also, a lot of these things are what we call keepers. You can store apples, onions, garlic, winter squash, in a cool, dry place for months. Other things, have to be cooked or frozen or preserved, but there's a lot out there. So tuck it away and save it for later. You'll be glad you did.
Well, we sort of got bombarded with a whole lot of bounty because of last week's cold snap. And so I think a lot of people probably are wondering what's the best way to preserve this so we can have a little bit of fresh food, albeit preserved food, throughout the winter.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just grab it now. In a month, you're going to hate the tomatoes.
Well, lots of local food news to catch up on and some political news, I suppose. The City of Boulder's sugar-sweetened beverage product distribution tax, the soda tax, as it's more colloquially known. Money collected from that now, we're hearing, is actually being used to expand some fresh produce programs.
Yes, the city has Double Up Food Bucks and Fruit and Veg Boulder, which are two programs that are designed to fight hunger, food insecurity, chronic disease by providing access. And so it seemed appropriate that money from Coke and Dr. Pepper, would be used to feed folks vegetables.
And of course, this is the time when we're seeing more need when it comes to food stamps and these type of programs that people can actually get some help in accessing fresh fruit and vegetables.
Yes, and so CU Boulder, which has always sort of had unofficial food banks and pantries and things over the years, they finally have an official on-campus food pantry at the UMC. They're finally admitting that many students have food insecurity, and they're just making it, easily accessible.
Well, there's some good news. Murphy's Restaurant at Iris and 28th in Boulder reopening again.
It reopened. And, I also wanted to take a moment to remember the 20th Street Cafe. A wonderful little diner in downtown Denver, and it closed recently after 74 years. It was operated by the same Japanese-American family, and it really was a wonderful, cool place, but
Well, you can read more about Radio Nibbles. And the best thing that John Lindorf has tasted lately, a dessert made by his son. It's all going to be online at news.kgnu.org. And don't forget, you can catch John Friday mornings sharing his latest food waste tips. That's on Friday's Morning Magazine. And catch the entire food waste series online at news.kgnu.org.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.